Please welcome Reggie Watts, everybody. Reggie Watts.
Tonight I'm gonna do a cheer, okay? In honor of the Super Bowl instead of national anthem, because I could not possibly live up to Alicia Keys' whole thing, you know. So I'm just, you know, I'm gonna do a cheer real quick, all right?
Oh no!
I've been practicing this. Oh God! I promise not to do it in the voice of Anne Frank, so I'll just do it in some other like girly voice. All right. Here's my cheer.
Your Valley Girl voice, maybe?
Valley Girl voice?
Yeah, it's your British Valley voice.
Oh, my God. Like, I don't know if I have one of those. Like, I don't know. Maybe I will. All right, here we go. Valley Girl voice. My cheerleader routine. Whew. Give me a W. Give me an E. Like, give me a T. Like, give me a P-U-S-S-Y. What's the spell? Wet pussy. Oh my gosh, I'm not bisexual. Give me an H. Give me an A. Give me an R. Give me a D. Give me a C-O-C-K. What's that spell? Hot cock. Like, oh my God. Woo.
Thank you, America. thank you. Thank you very much for giving me the freedom to...
Still trying to figure out what that had to do with the national anthem.
I said I was doing that in lieu of the national anthem.
It was definitely
sir.
Arousing, that's for sure.
Yeah. It did kind of sound like Anne Frank. I apologize. That
no,
you do,
Frank.
You do bachelor parties,
I don't
even right?
propaganda.
I do bachelor parties.
What the hell are you doing? Slashing my wrist with an electric razor?
Okay, I know I couldn't find any razor blades.
Well, at least your wrist will be smooth and kissable.
What is the matter with you? Will you go out there and have some fun and have a few laughs, please?
No. Have fun first and then have a few laughs.
Good evening, class. I would like to welcome you to Pussy Eating 101. Pay close attention now. This rules and regulations to pleasing a girl. Going downtown can really rock a world, but you gotta make sure that you know what you're doing. There's a mess down there that you gotta start learning. First, you gotta make sure you rehearse. Move around your tongue like you're trying to curse, cause there's nothing worse than a tongue that doesn't work. Then your girl will be mad and you feel like a jerk. Spread out a list before you kiss. You wanna make sure that find a clit, drink a little bit, then move it all around. Lick it all over till you hear it make a sound. Then you know that you find a good spot. Tease it and touch it, but not a lot. Put your mouth on top, you're in control. You can make it happen fast and slow. Lick it, better lick it right. Touch it, better touch it right. Kiss it, better kiss it right.
Right. Do that pussy right. Lick it. Better lick it right. Atari introduces the woman of the year, Ms. Pac-Man. With a style of entertainment that Pac-Man never knew, an endless supply of floating goodies, oranges, pretzels, four different screens, each with different exits and entrances, and the green screen so difficult to reach, you may never see it again.
Don't you know?
Pac-Man.
In this picture, there are 47 people. None of them can be seen. In this film, we hope to show you how not to be seen. This is Mr. E. R. Bradshaw of Napier Court, Black Lion Road, London, SE14. He cannot be seen. Now, I'm going to ask him to stand up. Mr. Bradshaw, will you stand up, please? This demonstrates the value of not being seen. In this picture, we cannot see Mrs. B. J. Smegma of 13, the Crescent, Belmont. Mrs. Smegma, will you stand up, please? This is Mr. Nesbitt of Harlow, Newtown. Mr. Nesbitt, will you stand up, please? Mr. Nesbitt has learned the first lesson of not being seen, not to stand up. However, he has chosen a very obvious piece of cover. Mr. E.W. Lambert of Homely, the Burrows, Oswestry, has presented us with a poser. We do not know which bush he is behind, but we can soon find out. Yes, it was the middle one. Mr. and Mrs. Watson of Hull chose a very cunning way of not being seen. When we called at their house, we found that they had gone away on 2 weeks' holiday. However, a neighbor told us where they were. And here is the neighbor who told us where they were. And here is where he lived. And this is where he was born. And now for something completely different.
Heather lost ketchup, Thorn.
The next one is called Smoking in the Shower.
Okay.
Smoking in the shower with the window open and the fan on, I puffed my pipe. I let the water bleed over me. I thought about the tsunami, exam work, and whether or not I should drink tonight. As I fingered the conditioner out of my hair, I decided I should. I poured myself a vodka and orange juice since we were out of scotch. It's so expensive. And drank the first one fast, like the hare having learned his lesson about dallying around and waiting too long. I had since decided that one should get drunk as soon as possible if that was the goal. My tattoo is of a vampire fairy Vulcan reading a fairy tale. I try to take a picture of it by stretching my arms around my back. I only get the wings and stop trying. Richard Hugo believes that an artist must hate herself in order to truly create. I wonder how I can loathe myself and still create nothing of substance. Perhaps I like myself a little too much. Perhaps it is the tattoo. I never should have got it.
Ladies and gentlemen, the talent of Shelley Chernin.
There's a boy at my garden gate. He's bearing verbs. He wants to conjugate. Oh, his past and his present participles are tense, but his future's perfect parts of speech immense. I let the boy fleeting in long hand. He doodles your chador. That is to say, I love the man who's versifying in my bed. I wish he'd make love to me instead. I'll read his chapbook when he's dead.
Thank you so much.
You're very welcome.
So many social engagements. A little time.
And now, Tim Roy.
Can I just read one more, ladies and gentlemen?
Go ahead.
All right. This will be the last one for a little bit.
You don't have any of the duos that you did at the Red Fest thing?
No, ma'am, I don't.
Oh, okay. Too bad. Those were so good.
I apologize for that. This one's called The Ballad of Labyrinth Eddie. Just about myself. Someone once asked me why my poems look like chop suey on paper. I said, that's how my brain works, and maybe that's how your brain works, too. Multi-channel sensory stimulation of said brain. Try driving down the road in your car. Music from the radio, scrambled with thoughts of money, love, lust, lack of sleep, what's for dinner, meshed with billboards, traffic signals, pedestrian sunshine, lost puppies, dead relatives. So I woke up one day when I was about 30, and I said, wow, I've been born on Earth. Now what do I do? How'd I get here? Why'd I get here? I'm a Piscean dream fish, universal lout monk writing collage poems from Hoosier hideout. The words of Jesus are written in the unique pattern of a cracked sidewalk. What does it mean to drag around a pile of bones and a bag of flesh? Smile. Where are we at here? Here we are trapped in the armbar of the moment. When nothing makes you happy or content, it's time for bed. The only 4+1 things that aren't in grade school. Oleo is margarine, ladies and gentlemen. Stulch is junk. A Baloo is a bear. That's true. I mean, that's really... Wuzzle means to mix. And no, Tiffany Baker will not go to the Valentine's Day dance with you. How can all of these people write such angry poems about living on the skids, booze, bar fights, when they have nice, pretty, clean, straight white teeth, and their mothers cook pork chop dinners on Sundays? And their closest thing to life as a skid row drunk is when Dad came home early and caught them trying to pick the lock on the liquor cabinet with a big paperclip. Gosh darn it, quit playing dress up. Please write poems about dinner with your folks. I want to hear you sing your true song. I want mashed potatoes and gravy smeared between sandwiches, or the boredom of a gray Midwestern day in March, watching icicles drip from the eaves. Just sing your song because you're the only you on this whole darn vast puzzled planet of people. Sing the particular song that is most particularly you. You being a vast compendium of sensory data compiled from wombhood to present moment. And certainly no two individual compendiums of sensory data are identical. You are your very own snowflake fingerprint upon the window of the universe. And then I have a Bible quote from Amos, chapter 7, verse 14. I'm not a prophet, nor am I the son of a prophet, but I am a herdsman plucking wild figs. Thank you, ladies and gentlemen.
When people talk about homosexuality, they often ask, is it a choice?
I heard it is.
Hello, what's your name?
Christian.
Well, Christian, let's see what the latest science has to say.
Oh, that.
To help us, here are two gay people, George and Martha. Before we can answer, is it a choice, we must first determine what it means to be gay. How do you know you're a homosexual?
The same way you know that you're straight.
Since the 19th century, many theories about homosexuality have been offered that are untestable and contradictory.
Male homosexuality is the result of an absent father and an overbearing mother. See ya.
Stand up straight, dear.
And the female homosexual has never recovered from her anger over not having the penis. She wishes to avenge her perceived castration by taking another female as her sexual object.
You're kidding me, right?
Well, I've always been told that homosexuality is unnatural.
Is it? In fact, homosexual relations are common in nature, including zebras, baboons, dolphins, sheep, buffalo, ducks, foxes, elephants, horses, gorillas, moose, house cats, pigs, mice, rabbits, swans, and lions, to name a few.
Well, okay, but we're not animals. Human beings have free will.
You don't just decide who to love.
Settle down there, Martha. Christian does have a point, but let's take a look at the most recent scientific evidence. As they study sexual orientation, scientists are currently looking at three main areas: genes, hormones, and birth order. Of course, most of these studies focus only on male sexuality. Sorry, Martha.
What a shock.
Let's first look at studies of identical twin.
Hi.
When one identical twin is a gay man, the other twin is gay up to 70% of the time, far higher than would occur if genes played no role. In fact, these studies show that genes play a greater role in determining sexual orientation than they do in whether or not you're right or left-handed. And we don't punish the left-handed. Well, not anymore. Scientists have recently noticed a striking statistical phenomenon. Studies show that having older brothers increases the odds of a boy being homosexual.
Moms always baby the youngest, making them gay.
No, that's not it. When a woman is pregnant with a boy, scientists are realizing that her female body often sees the male fetus as a foreign object and begins to produce antibodies against it. The more boys a woman has, the more adept her body becomes at feminizing the fetus, which may explain why with every successive boy, the odds that he will be gay go up significantly.
All right, maybe you all accept it, but what about those people who started out gay and say they became straight by discovering God? What about ex-gay ministries?
Even so-called ex-gay ministries don't claim to change a person's inner sexual desires, just his or her sexual conduct.
We're still gay.
If these places really work, why don't they all use the same technique? Why does each ministry experiment its own way?
Well,
and why have so many members and leaders recanted earlier claims that they were changed?
Maybe these programs don't work for everyone, but what's the harm?
How about the feelings of shame and guilt they instill and reinforce in their victims? Or the money, energy, and time they sap from people who have nothing wrong with them, says you.
Well, in point of fact, not just George says that, Christian. The American Medical Association, the American Psychiatric Association, the American Psychological Association, the American Psychoanalytic Association, the American Academy of Pediatrics, and the National Association of Social Workers have all stated that homosexuality should not be treated as a mental disorder, and that they oppose attempts at reparative or conversion therapy, and that sexual orientation is not a choice and cannot be changed.
So that's it. I'm supposed to believe that it's not a choice just because all those doctors and scientists say so?
Or you could just ask us.
I do know this one girl named Heather who goes back and forth, but she's
Shut up.
The information in this educational cartoon is based upon studies that can be found in any university library, with the possible exception of the Bob Jones University in South Carolina.
Here comes the Wizard of...
Okay, don't hold in your laughs, folks. It creates gas. That's right. The more laughs you hold in, the more gas you create. You only end up spoiling the evening for everyone. So everybody, give me an H.
A.
Give me an A.
A.
Give me an H.
A.
Give me an A.
A.
What's it spell?
A.
There, don't you feel better? I gotta tell you, I haven't been feeling too good myself. I went to this Hollywood party last week. Wilt Chamberlain was there. I thought I'd be cool. I said, hey, Wilt, how's the weather up there? He said, it's raining, and he spit on me. Well, it could have been worse. I was in this restaurant yesterday, right? Waiter comes over, he has his thumb on my steak. I said, what are you doing with your thumb on my steak? He said, I didn't want to drop it again.
Sometimes I feel so happy.
Sometimes I feel so sad. Sometimes I feel so happy. But mostly you just make me mad. Baby, you just make me mad. Linger on.
The fact that you are there.